Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Bianca Maielli episode. She was highly recommended by past guests. My favorite part of her interview was when she talked about going to a past LA music venue called Low End Theory. So thanks for tuning in and have a great day. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome, for the first time on the Stevie Weeby Show, musician, DJ, and producer, Bianca Maielli. Thanks for coming.
What's up, man? Thank you for having me.
Yeah. How you been holding up during the quarantine and everything?
You know, it's had its ups and downs. But yeah, just trying to have a hot girl summer despite everything.
Yeah, you gotta enjoy yourself, huh?
Yeah, trying.
I dig your. I just noticed your tattoo. Represent.
Oh, yeah, born and raised.
Yeah, born and raised.
You too?
San Diego.
San Diego. Sorry, okay. Yeah, San Diego. Yeah,
not LA. San Diego.
No, but still, that's cool.
Poway, a little town called Poway,
nice.
Known for their wrestling program and their band.
Oh, okay.
But you were highly recommended by other past guests.
Amazing.
Mestizo. Recommend. How did you guys meet?
We played a show in Highland Park I think a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I've known him from like this, just like the LA beat scene, like a lot of the Low End Theory kind of guys and stuff.
I went one or two times.
I used to go every Wednesday.
Oh, right. That's in Highland Park, right?
Heights. So yeah, that was RIP. That was good times. So I kind of like met a lot of those guys.
Do you have some fond memories of that place?
Oh, absolutely. That was like right when I turned 21, so I would just go there every Wednesday and get really lit and listen to amazing music. And you just never knew what you would hear. One day it would be like Erykah Badu DJing or like Kanye West violinist was a like guest once.
I was at the bar once just chilling. I didn't even know where my homies brought me. But then I saw, I'm a big fan of People Under the Stairs.
Dope.
And I saw Double K walk in. And then I'm like, oh, there's him. And then, oh, there's Bus Driver. And there's, you know what I mean? And then just like the who's who and like,
love
the beat
Bus
scene
Driver.
Or the hip-hop scene, and I'm like, oh my god, this is like, this is crazy.
Huge heads, huge names would just be there chilling every week.
Yeah,
you just
I like
never
that.
Never knew who you would see. Absolutely.
Have you heard of Stone's Throw?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because I just had a shout out to Koreatown Oddity. He was the guest this week.
Yes, shout out.
And it was just interesting finding out his trajectory and how he met Peanut Butter Wolf. But going back to Low End Theory, I'm sure people like that were just hanging out.
Oh, yeah, all the
time. Redmatic or Cut Chemist or some people were just.
It was insane.
Yeah.
I miss it so much.
Now, what happened to that night? Why did they close that night down?
I have speculations, but I don't know.
Go ahead. Oh, you don't know the story, but what are some of the speculations? I'm just curious.
Well, there was, wow. Okay. Yeah. There was the accusations that Gaslam Killer had like underwent.
Ooh,
with
okay.
That.
I didn't know you were going to go there.
No, that's fine.
I'm not trying to go there. Okay.
I think there was some disbandment and stuff that kind of happened after that.
Yeah.
That kinda,
it's just a crazy time. The cancel culture. Just a crazy time.
Yeah. We don't have to get into it.
Yeah. We don't have to. Yeah. Cause I don't want to
keep it light.
Yeah. We'll keep it light. No, but you know, that kind of hits home because, you know, that's, you know, just the connections of the people, you know what I mean? And it must be, you know, I mean, just difficult for, you know.
Yeah, there's probably more that also went into it.
I really don't know.
And it
could
have been just
especially when
like,
you talk about legalities and, you know, evidence or who, you know, who's, you know, it's just.
Or even, I just mean like even Low End Theory, like maybe they were just like. it had its run and we're ready for the next chapter. Like, it could have just been other factors too.
Yeah. Who are some of the other prominent DJs? It was him.
So it's Daddy Kev. So it was founded by Daddy Kev.
Yeah, shout out to Daddy Kev. Killer, yeah.
DJ Nobody.
Alpha Pup.
Yeah. So shout outs all those guys. Yeah. Yeah. They kind of like,
they kind of led the whole way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what's cool about LA too is like you had that scene, but then you also have like these smaller beat scenes where they're on those, I don't know what you call
like
it.
Like MP4.
Yeah, or they're like, you know, that like there's 24 buttons that have different colors.
SP3?
No. These are the SPs. Oh, okay. I'm talking about the ones like more advanced than these.
I just forgot the name, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
They're like doing it live. Like,
juggling crazy.
Yeah. It's a trip.
Yeah, that wasn't. I never really got into that.
That scene.
Style of, no, definitely that scene. Like,
yeah,
I definitely
I'm
have an appreciation.
Myself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I love it. But like, as far as my own music, I never really did too much of that style of like beat chopping like that.
Right. Are you more of a looper? Like you loop
a looper?
Stuff. Yeah, because I can like I produce. I consider myself just I loop.
Yeah,
I'm a looper.
Yeah, I think you could say I'm a looper.
So you sample things and collage and arrange things.
Yes.
Yeah.
So for like my remixes and production stuff, that's kind of what I, you know, it's more like little puzzle pieces that I try to arrange together.
I love that you said that.
Yeah.
Because when I make music, I think of the whole thing as a puzzle. And once it's done, it's like, oh, fuck. I'll listen to it like 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. But then once that's done, I'm like, oh, okay, that's done.
Is it ever done, though? I have the problem where I
oh, you want to keep going?
Well, I just never consider it done. And I just have to, like, release it just to be rid of it, to, like, let it go. Otherwise, I'll just obsess and keep working on it, and it's never good enough. So I just kind of, like, let it go into the universe. And
I like that because, in a way, it's like it's no longer yours.
Yeah. It's
once
just
you release it, because I'm a little selfish with my art, mm-hmm. but while I'm creating it, mm-hmm. I don't let people hear it. But once you're done and you let it out, it's no longer yours.
Yeah, because I'm not going to go change it. If people like it, they like it. If they don't, it's fine.
Have you done this where you release it, then you like listen to it and you're like, oh, I fucked up that part.
Oh, all the time. I do that with every single one of my mixes, like everything. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every single time.
Does it drive you crazy?
Yes. I don't consider myself a perfectionist, except when it comes to like my music and my art. So like, yeah, definitely.
Now, you knew, like, I want to go back to this. You knew what these machines were because you said SP.
Yeah, but I'm actually thinking of something else, but I can't place what that.
I have the 303 I use. The 303 is that. This is the 202, the older version, but then there's a 404, the 505.
Yeah, I think those are the ones that I'm more familiar with.
Oh, I can't
afford
those
ones.
Yeah,
they're
way
fuller.
The bigger
right?
ones.
Yeah.
So you
no,
got.
But
you got.
I don't
those?
Have those, no. Okay. But, like, I have friends that fuck around with that, and, like, it's really cool.
That's all I need.
Yeah. Just chop it up with that.
Well, I think these are like, the way I look at production is like the MPC, you got like the rocket launcher. Mm. You know, they got the heavy, you know.
Yeah.
These are like my little grenades.
There you go.
You
I
know
like
what
that.
I mean? They could still do damage. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So those are three grenades right there I got.
You can do some crazy shit with that.
Yeah, you know, MF Doom and Madlib, they use stuff like this.
Oh, absolutely.
So once I found that out, I'm like, oh, I'm
sold.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
And now, keep in mind, the 303, you can't even get in the States. You got to like order it. You got to look in Japan, you know.
Exclusive.
Yeah.
That's tight.
Yeah. So if that, the one right there with the sticker right there, uh-huh. the with the fresh sticker.
The Roland.
That's the first sampler I got. And nice. When it died, a part of me died.
Yeah. So you're like, I can't. You're like, I'm still going to keep it here to like
it's
keep
just,
me company.
Yeah. It's like one of my babies.
Yeah.
That I didn't bury. It's just there.
I feel that.
So let's go back to your I'm sorry, I love talking about like
beats. Oh yeah,
and
I can
music.
Geek out on that
oh,
all,
yeah.
all night. Yeah.
I want to know like just your trajectory. So you're born and raised in LA?
That's right. East LA.
East LA, that's
shout
what's
out
up.
To East LA.
You go to Marshall yeah. like what
No,
what,
no, I actually
not Marshall?
No, I ended up most of my life I went to this school in Glendale.
Okay.
Shout out to Glendale.
Shout out to Glendale. I love
shout
the
out
mall.
Glendale.
I love the mall there.
The mall. Yeah.
Glendale Mall.
Galleria.
The Galleria.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm familiar. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. I used to take the bus to the mall every day
love
after
it,
school because there was like nothing else you can do as a mm-hmm. seventh grader. So, but yeah. So I went to school in Glendale, but grew up kind of all over Northeast LA. So, like, mm-hmm. yeah, Eagle Rock.
Yeah, okay.
The whole
okay.
area. And then, I've kind of been all around. And right now I'm in Long Beach and I love it.
I love Long Beach.
Yeah,
I was just
it's
there
a
at a beach. It was so chill. It's like a different world down there.
It's a different world.
It is. It's
like LA, but not.
It's chill.
Yeah. No, it's cool.
People get the wrong idea about Long Beach, huh?
I know. I used to have a bad rap. Even I used to, like, before I moved there, I was like, Long Beach. Like, I only knew the aquarium or like it's where you pick like up drugs area, or though. Whatever. Yeah.
I like that area.
Yeah. The, and now yeah. it's so nice. It's mm-hmm. like they're making it all bougie, but like yeah. it's nice. It's cool.
So and then like how long you been living out there for?
5 years. Yeah.
5 years. Mm-hmm. And you like it?
I mean, I love it. You yeah. love it. You love, I love it.
And then, and so when, how did you get into music? And
well, I always kind of was, making of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the making of it. So I was always involved with music because mm-hmm. My grandfather and my mom's dad played the piano.
Okay.
And like, so all of us were forced, mm-hmm. like all my cousins yeah, and I were like I forced to do piano, yeah. like recitals, competitions, all of that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, looking back, I'm really grateful. I hated it at the time, but like, I'm super grateful now because it really was a great foundation. Like piano really popped off because that's such a good like.
Not only that, it's the piano. Like if you make beats like on a machine, it's yeah. just, you just correlate
it's
that.
Keyboard.
You just relate it to that.
Yeah.
You just do that. It's the same thing. You have to bend your fingers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no,
you have to have timing. Yeah. There you go.
And like melodies. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. super grateful for that. And I used to have. In high school, I played in the jazz band at my high school.
Oh, that's
yeah,
cool.
I played the keyboard.
Why are you talking down on it? Like,
no,
you,
I'm
like,
not.
You kind of said it like you're like embarrassed.
It's
you should
more,
be proud.
It's more throwing shade at my high school because it was really lame. But like,
can
no,
we give a
jazz
shout out to your
band
high school
was
right
cool.
Now?
Glendale Adventist Academy. What's up?
What up, Glendale? Represent.
So yeah, no, fuck that school. But yeah, I played in the jazz band, and uh-huh. that was cool. And mm-hmm. so I had this electric keyboard at my house that I would practice, and you could.
Was it a Roland?
No, it was. I don't even know if it was like a Yamaha or some bootleg brand. It was yeah. not.
It
wasn't a super
it?
Nice one.
Okay.
No, you would plug it in.
You plug it in.
Yeah.
Okay.
And but you could loop. You could like you could like layer loops with it.
You could loop on it.
Yeah, you could record something, and then. You know, record it in loop and then record like I think up to 4 layers, so not a lot.
That's dope. So it was
but
a
I loved it.
Keyboard.
Yeah, pretty much. That was just like a site. It wasn't
dude,
even.
It was a Yamaha.
Was it a
was
Yamaha?
It blue?
No, it was like a gray.
Okay.
It was a gray one.
Because the homie Money Mark had this old school Yamaha, a blue keyboard.
Yeah.
Older, and you could sample on it. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it was so cool. It was like not even like a main function of it, but like I was obsessed with just doing little like
samples.
Yeah, just little like. House beats and like little hip-hop beats just
yeah.
like just my 4 little layers like on the keyboard, but I loved it. And
can
so
you play them simultaneously?
What do you mean
at the same time,
like the
samples, like the loops and stuff
once you recorded it?
Yeah, once you record.
No, you can only do one like yeah one little.
But that's cool. I mean, if
that's cool
because you could get like some kind of beat just looped
yeah
and then record that into a recorder.
Yeah, if I knew like all that back then, maybe. I didn't. I was just doing like basic like layering
yeah.
and thought it was like cool.
That's interesting you said that because it is a process, isn't it? Because
mm-hmm.
I had to learn the hard way too.
Yeah.
And no
DIY,
one.
DIY, right?
Well, no one would give me any tips.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because when I really got it, when I started really wanting to like, oh, I want to record our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was living in Arizona at the time, and Arizona had their own little hip hop scene. So oh, wow. we would, the homies, like Mestizo, me, the homies, we would go like, you know, see The Far Side, or we would see Souls of Mischief or Diggable Planets. And then, but then I noticed that before the main act came on, it was the local acts. Like the people that lived in Tempe or Phoenix. I'm like,
wait, I know that guy.
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, that's so cool. And sometimes they were better than the real acts. They had more heart. Their beats were more interesting.
It'd be like that. Openers,
yeah.
Openers really.
The openers,
yeah.
But the local acts, I'm like.
Those are the gems. Yeah.
And then you would see them around town, like on Mill Avenue. I'm like, oh, there they are.
What's
and then, up? And then I'd walk up to them and I'd go, basically, how are you doing it?
Yeah, help me.
But they never told me.
No? They're like, figure it out. I feel like that's a lot of the
it's
old.
It's like Jedi shit, like secret Jedi shit.
I feel like that's a really like old school kind of mentality because it's like. You kind of kept that stuff more to yourself. Even like when you DJ the track IDs and stuff, like nobody would post your track ID. It's like, well, figure out what I'm playing. And I feel like now it's so different.
Right.
Like
it's a mentality.
You're meant to share what you're playing. And like there's all these YouTube tutorials on how to do everything.
No, back
and
then, this is the 90s.
Yeah.
The
no, 90s, nobody wanted to share shit.
In the 90s, it was like,
figure
nope.
it out. Yeah.
You got to learn the hard way. Good luck.
Yeah.
So that's why I had to be like, okay, I'm not gay. I got to just learn myself.
Yeah.
And it was a long time. It took me a long time.
There's something to say about learning for yourself, but I prefer how it is now where it's a lot more like share, you know, share the knowledge. And I kind of like that attitude better.
Yeah. The other way is a little kind of selfish and kind of, it's kind of like, you know, they're like, I'm going to have like, all the food.
Right.
Can I get a ration? No,
can I get a crumb? Can I just get a little crumb?
You fend for yourself. Don't find your own canned goods.
Right. Yeah. No, so, definitely.
So you, okay, you start with that keyboard. Then when did you like, then did you get into like, when did you get into like the type of music you got into?
Well, I feel like my tastes are always kind of evolving. But yeah, I would say, simultaneously, actually, before I started doing it on the keyboard, I had a little cassette radio, and there used to be this station. I don't even remember what it was. It was really short-lived in LA, and it was all, like, house music.
Okay.
It was 90s house music. Yeah. And I would make mixes on the tape. I would, like, when I would hear a song, I'd run and hit record and make these mixtapes.
Oh, dope.
And I was just, like, I had no clue what any of the songs were. I had no clue what they meant. They were talking about, like, ecstasy and party, and yeah. I was, like, you know, 10, and I was, like, woo. But yeah, that was kind of like my first foray into DJing. And then, yeah, the first foray into producing was that kind of like keyboard layering I would do.
Yeah.
And then kind of fast forward after high school and stuff, I was in college and working at Whole Foods at the time.
Oh, what's up? Yeah, I love Whole Foods.
Shout out to Whole Foods.
Love it. Yeah, I like their shakes too.
Yeah, they got some cool stuff.
That peanut butter shake they got?
Yeah.
It's good.
I bet.
Yeah. Shout out to Whole Foods.
Shout out to Whole Foods.
And Whole Foods, if you're listening, you can use some sponsorships here at the Steve Weeby Show.
Shout out to Whole Foods Guacamole.
5% off proceeds. We'll shout it out. But continue. How long were you? They treat you good there? Your benefits and everything?
Yeah, I had benefits. I mean, I was there a long ass time. I'm not going to lie. Probably like too long. I was there like, I think almost 9 years.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's a job.
Yeah, all through like college and like after I graduated while I was looking for a job, I worked there. But. Mm-hmm. I mean, like any job, pros, cons, but I met a lot of really fucking cool people. Like I met a lot of all the like low end theory people.
Dude,
like that's
Whole Foods?
Yeah, they would all shop there, and that's how I got like connected with a lot of people. And
how would you know who they were, or how did you approach them, or because you're working your shift?
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. You just go.
Oh, they probably saw you around some of the spots.
So. No, it was more like me being like, hey.
Oh, so you would.
I think you're cool.
You would
yeah,
kind of like
I would I would fangirl a little bit. Yeah. And then eventually they would just like be my friends because I would see them all the time.
All the time.
That's kind of the cool part about LA is like you can literally run into your idols and eventually just get to hang out with them. So I was very fortunate. But yeah, I had a coworker that was selling his techniques, 1200s.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna learn. So I just, you know, bought them off him. And I remember having to YouTube how to like connect it because I had no clue.
Oh,
I
just, the USBs and
yeah, I just had no clue. Yeah, to like the Serato. Like I didn't know anything. So I just showed up home and I was like, how do I connect it? You know, I had no clue.
That's cool. You could just look
so,
it up.
So yeah. So thank you, YouTube.
Yeah,
YouTube's really come through for me.
Oh,
a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I bought that and kind of learned how to DJ with vinyl and Serato. And then recently, a few years ago, made the switch to CDJs and stuff.
Okay.
And then around the same time that I started DJing, I kind of got into using Ableton. So I started like actually trying to produce.
That's the premier program, isn't it?
Yeah. I've been using it for years and I still feel like I only know a fraction of its potential.
I just got frustrated.
Yeah.
How do I just make a beat?
It'd be complicated. YouTube tutorials.
Yeah, it's just all the blocks, and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I've thought
where to put it. Like, where do I get the sounds?
But that's the fun part, because you can just kind of she's rearrange it. With me. Yeah.
She's like, yeah. Yeah.
She's seen me like play around with it.
Oh,
just
okay,
like,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it is gosh. Like little color bricks on top of each other.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. But yeah, that's kind of how it just flowed.
So what are some advantages of using Ableton opposed to these other programs? What's the, like, what?
I wouldn't know because I don't really use any other programs. But right. I would say from the little that I do know about other programs is they all kind of have, like, the kind of linear. So you know how Ableton has, like, the two views? I don't know the technical terms, but it's, like, the arrangement view and then the something other
is
view.
Is that the left to right or the up and down?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay, yeah. So the left to right is, like, what all the programs kind of look like.
Yeah.
But Ableton has the option of the kind of the up and down, clips that
you
can stack.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what makes it unique because you're able to kind of play around with the order as you're making it.
Yeah.
And it allows for a little bit
more,
I think, creativity.
Right.
when you're using it. But other than that, I really have no clue.
I heard, I mean, this is just what I heard from the grapevine, is it's kind of like a shortcut. Like it could loop things perfectly for you.
Oh yeah, the warping.
It could do all kinds of stuff where it's like it takes away from what you had to spend hours doing before, you know, like just looping something perfectly or arranging.
I feel like it still takes me forever to loop something perfectly in Ableton. It does. Maybe for I'm me just too. Like, I don't
no,
know.
It takes a long, I've spent hours.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's supposed to be easier, but I'm not getting it.
But sometimes I spend so much time doing it. And even if it's not perfect and it's kind of off, I'm like, all right, I'll take it.
Yeah. That's me with a lot of
I'll just release it that way.
That's a metaphor for like all of my art. Yeah.
Yeah. Just whatever. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit here like 3 more hours.
It's good enough. It's good enough. Yeah.
So that's dope. So you got some techniques, you got some programs. When did you start like playing out and like networking and meeting other artists and in your community?
Yeah, definitely. So like when I had gotten those techniques and stuff was when I was already kind of going to Low End Theory and stuff. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I was already meeting all these musicians, getting really inspired. And so that really fueled my desire to keep going at it and keep learning. My first gig ever.
Yeah, let's hear about
it. No, it's hilarious. My friends threw a rave.
Where?
Like by the airport.
Okay.
They rented like the weirdest
spot,
weirdest venue of all time. It's like...
Like, I think warehouse?
They do. No, it's like a place where they had like quinceañeras normally. Like, oh, it was just like a really weird spot.
What time was your spot? Like at 2 a.m?
No, I had like a pretty. So they threw this rave and they got like pretty much. So I started DJing with like a group of friends, like a group of my guy friends I had met. And we all were kind of DJing, learning all together and kind of doing our own thing. And so when my friends threw this rave, they pretty much booked all their friends, all of us. So we're like, sweet. So we were like, you know, we were stoked. We were like, had, you know, artist badges and we were on the thing. We felt so legit. So I think I had a pretty good time slot and I was so prepared. I like practiced. I like knew exactly what I was going to play and when, which I haven't done that in a year. Like I just wing it now.
How long was your set? Do you remember how long
it was? I think 45 minutes or an hour.
Okay.
I don't remember, but it was just like the funniest. It was just like empty and there was like these go-go. It was just like hilarious. It was like such a funny first event. Yeah. Really just really hilarious. I still have the flyer.
But you got through your set.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, I still had a blast. And it just kind of went from there. And then my friend Gabe and I, we still kind of DJ together. He goes by Chaboy. Shout out to Chaboy.
Well, what's his name again?
Shout out to Chaboy.
Shout out to Chaboy.
Chaboy, yeah. So
how do you spell that?
Chaboy. Chaboy.
Oh, shout out to Chaboy.
Yeah, so he him and his friends run the Late Night Lagers. I don't know if you've heard of them. They do a lot of events around LA.
No, not really, but
back in the day we started just DJing together and we had gotten this like little residency with this small gallery in Highland Park. So it was probably like from this tray to here was like the size of the whole gallery.
That's how small it was.
Oh yeah, it was tiny. And we would just, it was every Friday night and we would just show up with our equipment and all our friends would just come and like BYOB and we would just train wreck it every Friday and just have the best time.
Yeah.
And that's really how I learned because we were just like.
Just have fun.
We just had fun and we winged it and that's kind of how I like got comfortable with just kind of showing up and DJing and not having to like
trip out on
really
anything.
Prepare anything, just kind of like going with the flow. So
it would be like a freestyle set.
Yeah,
I'll throw this record on.
Yeah, just whatever, anything goes.
Speaking of records, so when did you start getting into that aspect of it, like digging for records and?
Yeah, so as soon as I got the Technique 1200s, I was learning on vinyl and Serato, like the time coded, but I was like, I want to be a legit DJ and, you know,
get some.
Yeah, I had some already just from liking music, but I was like, I'm going to get like, you know, some serious cuts and really, you know, learn. And I have played a few gigs with just vinyl, but it's definitely, I wouldn't say I'm like very skilled in that regard.
It's hard to lug around, right?
And I just have no desire to take that anywhere.
Yeah,
I've taken there's been a few like special nights that it'll be like, you know, all vinyl night and they've asked me to come.
Yeah,
and
then
I pull up with my collection or whatever I want to take. But it's definitely not a convenient way to go.
To do your gig.
I'm so spoiled now. I just show up with a USB.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's another DJ. Soothsayer has been.
Oh, dope. Yeah, yeah.
Caroline? Soothsayer. And she She brought her. I'm like, she's like, you want to see what I used for my gigs?
Oh, nice.
She had a fanny pack or something filled with just
USBs. Yeah. No, it's so convenient.
Like, you know, was one of them had, was like Bart Simpson, or you know, like there's different stickers
ooh,
on.
Ooh, I need to know where she got though. I need to get some flair with my USBs. So mine are boring.
USB.
Yeah. I used to take, even if they had turntables, you still had to bring your time-coded vinyl on your laptop. And one time at a gig, a girl spilled her drink all over my laptop, like in the middle of me playing. And it just like, everything just, you know, went out. And I was like, and I just grabbed my laptop and I'm trying to air it out. And everyone's like wondering what to do. And I was just trying to save my laptop. And
what was this girl doing by the area?
You know,
just things happen.
This is a weird, the venue, because my setup was like at a lower level than like people backstage had like a level here. Oh, so there was just a drink chilling.
Oh, right.
And somebody knocked it over and I was like, no.
Oh my God. Was it like a Mac?
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. So after that, I was just traumatized. So USB is the way to go.
Did you bring it in to get it fixed?
So yeah, so I tried to like someone eventually went on, you know, took over, and I was just trying to air it out and dry it out, and I ended up taking it, and they couldn't fix it, but I was able to extract the hard drive out of it. God, but I had to get a new laptop.
Oh my God.
So
yeah, these things are a headache. I'm like obsessed over memory now. Like, why is there so much?
There's never enough memory.
I have a conspiracy about Mac. I think that they like secretly like just flood your stuff with like flood
updates,
your memory.
Yeah. All those updates. I don't trust them.
Yeah, I think that they do that. And then it's like a daily, it's like a video game to me. Like there's a thing I learned when you press Command F. You press Command F and then you get in there and then you could watch this. So you go here to this and you press Command F, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, it says kind, any, you press this plus right here, right? And you don't go equals, you go to greater than, right? And then you could just press one, greater than one, right, of those, right? And then right here, then you could just manually
see what's taking up all the space.
You can manually, and then you can even change it to like mega, you know, mega or gigabytes right here.
Yeah.
And that's like what's taking up the most of it, these two right here. So I just learned that on a tutorial.
tutorial. I'm telling you.
And then I have Clean Your Mac now. Do you have Clean Your Mac?
I was going to say, I use Clean My Mac.
$20-something.
Yeah.
$30. Yeah. That's cool. I know. You got to have it.
It's annoying, but it does come in handy. Clean My Mac, if you want to sponsor the show.
Yeah, so Mac, if you're out there, you know, we could all use new iPhones. Yeah. Do you have a website?
I do. BiancaMaieli.com.
How do you spell it out? I'm going to ask you five more other times to spell
it.
Oh, yeah. All good. I want to really push your shit.
Thank you. Okay. It's BiancaMaieli.com.
Okay. We're not done with the interview.
We're not signing off yet. Stay tuned. Yeah.
Okay. I had another question. When did you start doing these gigs with the homies and bigger to like festivals and stuff like that, where you're like, oh, damn, I'm on a flyer and this is crazy?
Yeah. So I would say like probably 2016 is when things like took off a little bit more for me. Mm-hmm. I've done a couple festivals. And I would say, sadly, this year in particular, I was like making good money and was getting like better gigs. But it wasn't until this year that I was like, okay, now I know I can charge this much. Now I'm playing with, you know, better lineups. Yeah, now I'm not always like, now I'm getting better time slots.
Yeah.
And so, I was on a good uphill run before.
Yeah.
Before
have you heard of DJ
hit.
Shorty?
DJ Shorty?
Is
a drum and bass DJ?
Yeah, I think. Because that's why, you know, I've had other DJs on here. So I like getting, because it's so eclectic as well. Because there's like one, like drum and bass, and then there's house. And then you seem like you're more open. You're like, you have.
Yeah, it's hard to describe my style, but I do think I can sum it up. I like really like Caribbean tropical
beats.
Sounds and beats. Yeah. So as long as it's kind of got that kind of flavor, I usually kind of play it. But it ranges from like Afro beats to reggaeton to like, I like to play South Asian, you know,
that's
stuff
what's up.
Too.
Hell yeah. That's what's up.
Like random things. As long as it sounds good to me and I can make it work together, I'll stick it in. I don't care about like genres.
Did you used to go to Amoeba? Rest in peace, Amoeba.
Rest in peace, Amoeba.
Yeah.
Yes,
I used to
course.
Work there, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, early 2000. Yeah. I got fired.
Did you?
Oh yeah.
I feel like that's a good story. Should we get into that? Fired.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't sober. I'm sober now, but I wasn't sober at the time. And I would just get completely baked out of my mind and try to work. I remember one shift I bought, I forgot, this girl had edible pot cookie, but it was like this big.
That looks insanely huge.
It was like this big.
That's wild.
And so I thought it was a good idea. Like, oh, I'll just eat that on my break.
The whole thing? Yeah. Wow.
But I didn't know. R.I.P. I didn't know what it would do to me.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, and then usually on our break, we'd go off outside in the parking lot, smoke a joint, and then come back, you know? And so at that point, I was no longer a cashier. So at that point, I was in the warehouse. So my job was there. I was in the clear. I thought I was in the clear because in the warehouse, you have your own cubicle.
You're in the zone. Like, yeah, you're in a zone.
And all I'm doing is I'm like switching jewel cases, like old ones to new ones. And I would put them in a bin. And it was just like manual labor. It was just like mindless work. You could have your own Walkman. Like, you know, that's how cool. I discovered a lot of music too. I would just like, oh, what's this? Put it in the CD player. And I'd be like, oh, this is dope. Yeah. I'd put it in my
bin. You had all the access right there. That's amazing.
And so I noticed that, okay, like I came back and I was at my cubicle, whatever, in the warehouse. And I'm like, I started feeling paranoid. And then I was like, I was really tripping. I was like, oh my God. I thought like the feds were after
when
me.
When the edible hits. We've all been there.
I thought everyone knew like they're after me. And so I was high. I was like literally like Gollum up there, like squirmish. Like,
oh, no.
I was like, I was even acting weird with my coworkers. You know, they couldn't like really console me or talk to me. And then I remember it was like towards closing, but it was like we had like 2 hours left before closing. And one of the owners, Karen, said, Stephen Lee, please report to register 3. Stephen Lee, please report to register 3.
You're like, oh no.
Because they needed an extra cashier.
Oh, crap.
But I was so high. So I was literally, I was pretending.
You're like, where's that? Where are they calling my name from?
And so, because they had an intercom system. So that like raised my paranoia to like to the max. I thought, oh my God, they called the cop. Like, they're going to arrest me or something. Something's bad's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I kept ignoring it. I didn't even go down. And then, so they're like, kept saying, Stephen Lee, come to register. And then they got other employees to come looking for me. They're like, Steve, we need you at register 3. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I just remember, like, because it was a little darker in the warehouse, but I remember, like, you know, going out in the floor, it was, it was like bright.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was just like, ugh. And I was high. I mean, I couldn't even talk. And this is the thing. So I got in my register, and now you're talking about you're dealing with customers. So I remember there was like a cheat sheet. Like back then, like on the side of the screen on the register, there mm-hmm. was like, okay, this is for tapes and you put the code in, and this is for vinyl, mm-hmm. this is for used CDs, this is for rec, you know what I'm saying? And so I remember even with the cheat sheet, I was typing shit wrong. Like I couldn't even type in the right thing.
That reminds me, that's like you're describing half of my experience at Whole Foods. Like this is what happened to me all the time.
Oh, like, you're high like that?
Oh yeah, yeah, all my, it was a known thing. Like, you would just take, everybody would take their break, go smoke, come back. Yeah, or like, you know, and I remember one time I had a similar edible situation. But mine was like a tiny, it was like the tiniest little lemon bar.
But what year was this?
Oh, I don't know.
Because weed's like, gotten, the reason why I'm asking, because weed's got more potent, I'm guessing. Yeah,
maybe
you know
like
what 2008, I'm
saying? 9?
Yeah, so this is probably more potent in that little thing you ate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought, I was like, I can handle this. Sure.
So it creeps up on you, huh?
Yeah. And actually, this particular time, I remember same thing. But I was a cashier at the time.
Oh, God. It's the worst thing to be.
But I was like, I smoke all the time and I do the register. No biggie. Yeah. You know? So I get back and I realize, I'm like, oh, this is a lot stronger than I anticipated.
Did you get paranoid?
Oh, I'm high out of my mind, super paranoid. I feel like I can barely like form like thoughts in my head and I have to help people. And then Rob Schneider comes through my life.
I was just going to say, we're on the same wavelength because I was just going to finish your story.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean to cut your story off. No.
Finish your Rob Schneider because I have one like similar to, I think, what you're about to say.
Okay. No, because you just reminded me I'm so high at the register. Rob Schneider pulls comes up. Through with his daughter and they're like obsessed with talking to me for some reason. They're just like asking all these questions. They're like, wow, your tattoos. And I'm like, I was like, Rob Schneider. I couldn't even comprehend.
It was like a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight out of Pineapple Express or something.
No doubt. So I have a similar story.
Yeah, please continue.
So I was high, baked out of my mind, but not on edibles. So it was manageable. This was a different day.
Yes.
And I'm just, you know how like when you're working register, it becomes like robotic.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You're like making the time just go by. You're like, I'll meet you at the end. I'll hand you your bag.
Yeah.
All right, next. Okay, come on. And next, you know? And so it was one of those things where I had my head down and I was high. And then the customer had walked up already. And I'm like, and then they put their stuff and I look up and it was Beck.
Whoa.
Because I'm a Beck fan, you know?
Yeah.
Odelay, all that shit. So I'm like, and I just remember I couldn't even talk. I was like, really?
Don't you hate that? You're like, you have all these things. You're like, if I meet them, I'm going to talk about this and tell them
you
this.
You want to act cool or something? No, I look like a fool. Yeah. I was a fool. He probably
happens
thought,
to the
who
best
is
of us.
This guy's incompetent.
I'm sure he didn't think that, but I've been there, so I feel you 100%.
Man, you know what? It's depressing. Let's go back to me, but you know, even though I did get fired, I still have a lot of love for that place, the place itself. You know?
Yeah, I've seen so many concerts and shows there.
Yeah, me too. I've lost count. I freaking lost count. You know? I mean, even the people like I remember, like I didn't even know who Slug was or Atmosphere. And then I just remember, who's this guy? And then like Fishbone or Queens of the Stone Age, you know, just like so many different groups. And I'm like, oh, cool. Henry Rollins would come in. I'm like, oh, there, you know what I mean? And then it's just kind of depressing because I think we're like leaning more towards an age. It's like super like you don't need to go anywhere.
I know. This is like the furthest I've traveled in like a while.
You know what
I'm
saying?
Long Beach to Hollywood. I was like, wow.
Like
adventure.
Even the way music is put out.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool to have vinyl. I don't think vinyl will ever die, but it's kind of like, what are your thoughts on, like, just the way music is released and the way you get music and the way, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting, and I don't really know what the future holds because it's changing so quickly right now with everything.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's, just with the streaming, I mean, not to hate on it, I use Spotify, and I think it's a great way to, like, get like learn about new music and stuff like that, but I feel like it really hurts the artists actually long term. I don't know the exact stats, but like one vinyl purchase is equal to like 2,000 streams, so you have to, you know, have people listen 2,000 times just to make vinyl. One like vinyl sale, whereas if people support the artist directly and buy like, you know, even the digital album, you're gonna support the artist more than streaming, so it's actually really
that's so depressing.
Yeah, it's disheartening.
Is your personal music on Spotify?
No, because I've personally just done mainly like edits, remixes, stuff like that. Well, I guess I think I've produced a couple tracks for Horsepower actually,
and I think her
music is on there, so indirectly, yes. But I am working on some original music right now,
yeah.
So hopefully that will be out streaming soon. Yeah, so make sure you stream it over 2,000 times so you can make an album.
And then like to add to that, it's like, how is like the artist, how do you even track the stream? Like, they don't tell you all that, do they?
Yeah, I actually don't know, because
you know what I'm saying, like they don't tell you, okay, this guy from Norway just listened to your, you know what I'm saying?
Do they not
like,
do that?
I don't know. I'm asking. Do they do that?
I don't know, but I think they have. I think they give you some kind of analytics if your music. I would hope so.
Okay, so like,
but
I have
know.
A lot of music out on through like, you know, some of my stuff's on Spotify. Like maybe 70-65% of my stuff's on Spotify.
Okay. Well, yeah. Then, you tell me. Is it? Can you?
Well,
see
I'll tell you. Once in 6 years, I'll get a check for like $39.99. But then I'll get the check. It'll just say $39.99, but it won't tell me any. Other information, like, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, and it's always like $40 or something.
Yeah, that sucks. I guess I just assumed, because I know on SoundCloud, I know it's not really a place to like make money, but it's kind of cool that you can see the analytics. You can be like, yeah,
see, that's cool.
They'll be, you know, I can see people listening all over the world. I'd be like, oh
yeah,
someone in Honduras is listening to my, like, that's dope. You know, I would have never known. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. You could kind of see those demographics.
So that's a plus for SoundCloud.
Yeah, I love SoundCloud. I have a lot of pluses.
I'm a Bandcamp guy.
I love Bandcamp too.
Bandcamp's the shit for me. Yeah. Because at least with Bandcamp, they could directly support you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I use SoundCloud mm-hmm. to direct people to my Bandcamp.
To your Bandcamp. Yeah. That's smart.
Yeah, that's my.
Do you think maybe I don't even have a SoundCloud. Is it? It's very important, huh?
For me, it is. More for finding music because so many DJs and mm-hmm. stuff make really, really cool edits mm-hmm. and then they'll put it up as a free download.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as someone who's constantly playing music, like I definitely try to like buy and support as many independent artists as I can.
Yeah.
But I have a limited budget. And so it's nice that DJs are willing to give these amazing, you know, songs out for free on SoundCloud. Yeah. And so I definitely use that to my advantage. And it's nice to support because you can support them in other ways on SoundCloud. You can share their track or comment on it, help them grow. And so I really like it for that. I don't know. It's the only place I really have music. I mean, mm-hmm. I have stuff on Bandcamp, but all my Bandcamp traffic is from my SoundCloud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to promote your, let's shout out your Bandcamp and your SoundCloud right now.
Sure.
For the listeners and viewers.
It's pretty easy because everything's the same. So my website, my SoundCloud, my Bandcamp, my Twitter, my Instagram, it's all Bianca Maielli.
I'm going to spell it out again.
Yeah, all right.
I have fun doing it.
Okay.
It's a B-I-A-N-C-A, Bianca Maielli.
That's right.
M-A-I-E-L-I.
Yes, sir.
Get on
Check me out.
And not only good on her SoundCloud, go to her Bandcamp and get some jams.
Get into it.
Get some jams. Now, do you think the future of music is going to be here? It's just free. You just get it for free, but then once this corona stuff ends, catch me at my show and buy my merch. Is that how it's going to work?
That's already how a lot of independent artists operate. You know, because if you're buying music all the time, stuff does add up.
Yeah.
And so in order to get their if someone doesn't have a big following or a label or something like that, they're going to put their stuff out for free so it can spread easier. And then hopefully, you know,
you'll make that on the back.
Hopefully
end
you'll
or
get
something.
That back in, like you said, live shows. Although right now that's not existing. What the future of that is going to hold.
No, since the quarantine, like how are you keeping your sanity? How are, can you do like, since we do music, can you perform? I saw J.Ru the Damager. We talked about this on the Korean Oddity one where, you know, J.Ru has a thing. I don't know if it's on NPR or whatever, but he's performing a set like sitting on a crate or something and he's like doing his shit. You know, he's triggering the beats and he's rapping over shit. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, we got to do
periscoping
what we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've played a few virtual gigs. Quite a bit of them have been paid as well, so that's always nice.
Really?
Yeah, so...
How are they getting the funding and the revenue for that?
So I definitely want to shout out Jasmine Solano. She's an amazing DJ. You guys should all check her out.
Yeah.
DJ Jasmine Solano. So she...
Is she in L.A.?
She is in L.A.
Maybe she... Do you think she'd be a good guest on the Stevie Weeby
Show? Oh, absolutely.
Okay, just...
Remind
me at the end.
Oh, I will. She's killing it in every way. So what she started at the beginning of this whole pandemic... was this virtual party called Clubhouse Global.
Okay.
So she partnered up with Beats, Dr. Dre Beats.
Damn.
So,
As a sponsor. Oh, hello.
And so that really helped ensure that, and it's cool because that ensures the DJs get paid, mm-hmm. but also the event itself every event is a fundraiser for a different like charity.
Oh,
so people that listen and tune in can donate. So they're donating for the charity. But Beats is making sure that the artists playing are compensated.
And they got money.
They got money. You know, it wasn't a bad gig for, you
they
know,
got a
streaming
budget.
An hour from
they
home.
They got a budget,
like,
don't they?
I'm not complaining.
Hey, I got to dap you up for that. I got to dap you up. Good for you. Good for you.
Shout out to Beats if you want to sponsor this show too.
Yeah, so Beats, if you're out there, Dre, Eminem, We're big fans of you guys here on the Movie Show.
You know,
please holler at me. I could use it.
Yeah, I'm trying to plug you in.
Thank you. I could use anything would help right now. Anything would help.
So that's, I love that model. So I love how she's kind of doing it. So hopefully
that's real innovative. Like future thinking, dude. I love that.
Yeah. So hopefully more of that kind of comes
about. What does she spin? The same type of music? Like,
yeah, I guess similar to me, but she's got her own flavor going too. Yeah, going. Absolutely. Yeah. She's killing it.
So, do you have is there a collective of other DJs that you're homies with that you guys do gigs all the time together?
You know, I would say the closest, so I have like my own kind of little group that we kind of started. We did our debut event right before quarantine. So
can we shout them out real quick?
Of course.
Do a roll call.
So we're called No Nazar. And
spell it out.
N-O.
Yeah.
N-A-Z-A-R.
No Nazar.
Yeah. So basically, Nazar is kind of like this idea of the evil eye. Nazar is kind of like...
Is it like a reptilian eye? Like a eye of Horus or something? Or...
It's kind of depicted in different ways, but you know, like in Greece and Turkey, that blue kind of like eye symbol.
Yeah.
That's kind of like a thing to reflect the evil eye away.
Okay.
So it's this idea of just like, it's kind of like a no haters kind of vibe.
No haters,
it's
kind no
of
haters.
A play like on that kind of idea and energy.
How many crew members?
So right now it's three main one of us. So it's Omar makes music.
Shout out to Omar.
Shout out to Omar. Yeah. And then M Touré. Shout out to Melinda. She's another dope DJ.
M Touré.
Yep.
M Touré.
Uh huh. Okay. So we did our first event March 8th, and it was popping. It was so fun. And then like right after everything shut down. So
they're all welcome here.
Thank you. I will pass along the message.
No Nazar is welcome here. Always on the Steve Gooby Show.
Yeah,
so I love musicians. I love DJs and rappers and beat producers. I love it
all.
Amazing. Yeah. So let's. How are you holding up during this quarantine? Like, what are? I know we kind of feel handcuffed right now at the moment because of this quarantine and everything. How are you keeping your spirits like up?
Doing a little bit of everything. I'm really lucky, so there's like five of us that live together in a house. So it doesn't feel quite as lonely. So we kind of have each other to kind of do stuff with. Just being at home has its ups and downs, so I try to just work on music or work in different projects.
You know, the beach is right there.
Yeah, I was gonna say just getting out of the house has been nice. I went to the lake this weekend.
I went camping as well.
Did you? We were trying to go camping, but
you should.
Everything was like closed.
No, me and my girl went to Mammoth Lake, Sarah. Oh. Camp High Sarah.
I've never been to Mammoth. Is it nice?
Beautiful.
How far of a drive is that?
Four and a half, five hours.
All right.
You gotta go.
I've never been, and I've always wanted to go.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It was so chill. I mean, it was just so, the trees were all tall, and it was just great. Just getting back with nature and like, you know, starting a fire. We cooked our meal over the fire. It was great.
Love that. Yeah.
And they had showers. They had four, like men's bathroom and, you know, they had four, you know, four in each.
Yeah. That's a big plus.
That's a big plus.
Yeah. Without showers.
Shampooing out there. I was
Love
so,
that.
Shout out to Camp High Sierra.
Okay. I'm gonna need to get that info from you after this.
So, the vlog, if you want to see, because I did a vlog, you know, I did a vlog, so it drops tomorrow if you want to see what
it looks
like.
Yeah, I would love to.
The only problem is my girl didn't know what size tent she had. She thought she told me it's a 4-man tent. It was a kid's tent.
Oh no, four kids.
For her nieces. And so we're in there. It was like this big. We're just like,
yeah.
So, but I was got obsessed because I'm like, oh, next time I'm going to REI. I'm getting
your
ball
out.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna spend whatever.
They're so expensive there, but honestly, worth it.
Well, REI?
Yeah.
Have you been?
Yeah, my wife is obsessed with REI. She lives there. That's like her second home. Like, she about
can we
it.
Give her, can we give her a shout out?
Shout out, Saima. Love you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shout her out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Target has stuff too.
Target? Yeah. Shout out Target.
Yeah. So shout out to Coleman. So REI, if you know, we could use your sponsorship. REI.
We're avid campers.
We really want to push this this healthy lifestyle of camping, of nature.
Opt outdoors.
And being around the trees and everything. Yeah.
No, but I have a similar problem with the tent because my wife bought this tent that is, you know, a two-person tent, but it's supposed to be one of those really light ones that you can, because sometimes we do backpacking stuff and you got to hike, you know, a few miles and you don't want to carry a big tent. Mm-hmm. So we got this little tent, but we also have a dog. She's like a medium-sized dog.
Oh, yeah. What kind of dog? We tried,
she's a Jindo.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so she kind of looks like the Shibas, but a little bigger.
Yeah. There was dogs on the campsite itself, yeah. I saw all kinds of dogs there.
Just like chilling, they live there?
Every dog I saw there, smiles. I mean, they were happy as hell.
How could they not be over there?
You know, they were so happy. Yeah. Yeah.
I know. Every time we go camping, my dog is like, so we live here now?
Okay. Yeah.
We're never leaving. Like, she loves it.
But there's something about nature that I'm sure, because, you know, it's like going back home to them, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
But the one scary thing, so we're sleeping, and at 2-3 in the morning, it was like, we hear these sounds. It was like, dude, there was coyotes or wolves or something. They're having a war. And we're just scared. We're like, oh, dude, that's close.
Like, hide all your food.
Yeah. Have you seen Blair Witch Project? That horror
movie? Gosh. Not in so many. Have you seen it?
But do you remember?
Very little of it.
If you want to go camping, never watch that movie.
Sounds good. I'm
never
good
watch
with that.
Blair, yeah. Blair. Never watch it. Never watch it. That's
a
horrifying.
Throwback. I haven't thought about that movie in so long.
I was with Mestizo in Arizona.
Really?
We went for his birthday, one of his birthdays. Nice. Like 8 of us. We like all smoked out. Yeah, whatever. And then I was frightened. I didn't tell them, but I was frightened.
Oh,
no. This is crazy.
You're like, I'm hearing noises.
Because, you know, it's like movies like that, like Evil Dead still scares me, but like Blair Witch, because you don't see a lot, you hear a lot.
So you know what I'm saying? Messing with your psyche,
Michael, you know. Or Josh, what was his name? Josh or Michael, whatever.
I wouldn't know.
But
yeah, because your imagination sometimes is scarier than what you see. So like, yeah,
That's why a lot of the horror the horror movies are like the scariest to me are like psychological, like where you're like, oh, okay, I have to fill the pieces in. You know what I mean? How are we doing on time? Oh my God, time. We have 10 minutes.
10 minutes that flew by.
Did it fly by?
Yeah, it did.
Was it easy?
Yeah, super easy.
You're out of here in 10 minutes or less.
Wow, look
now,
at that.
Now, before I forget, I wanna plug your stuff. I want to, like, do you have a website, Instagram? Like, I want to plug all that.
Absolutely. Because
I have some announcements, too, as well. So
okay.
Do yours first, and then let's take your time. I want to make
check
sure.
Check me out.
Yeah, yeah.
My website, my Instagram, my TikTok.
Okay.
My Bandcamp, my SoundCloud, it's all under Bianca Maielli. So it's BianCaMaielli. And yeah, you can find out all my stuff if you just Google that.
What's the best way to support you right now as far as music purchasing? Is it go to your SoundCloud, go to your Bandcamp? Which one is it? So
yeah, I guess
the fans and listeners can support you directly.
The best way you can support me, and yeah, I've pretty much lost all form of income since the pandemic, so
definitely support my girl here.
If you want to support me, you can probably, the best way is my Bandcamp. I have a few releases out now. They are name your price, but you can choose to donate any amount, and every little bit helps, so thank you.
$50 a track. These are hard
worth
times.
These are
hard times worth. $50 a track. I think that's fair because of the pandemic and
everything. I think that's fair.
Yeah,
sounds good.
Was that easy for you? I mean, this interview was just
flew by. You're
it was
easy. To talk to.
It was easy. Shout out to Mestizo again. That's like my brother.
Shout
you know.
Out to Mestizo. Shout out to
Horsepower. Yeah. If it wasn't for him and a couple others, like, I wouldn't discover a lot of these artists. Like, that's how I discovered who Koreatown Oddity was.
Nice. Yeah. It's all about that same, like, scene.
Anytime Mestizo even, you know, because he was on Daddy Kev. I know he messed with Daddy Kev, like, on his.
Oh, that's how I, like, knew him through that same circuit.
Through that label and, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. God, that would be a good guess, huh? Daddy Kev.
Daddy Kev is a legend. Absolutely.
I gotta get him, huh? I gotta get him. Do you think he'd be on? He'd come here?
I hope so.
So, Daddy Kev, you know,
Daddy
Kev, you're always welcome here.
Come through.
Please, I'd love to interview you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
okay.
He's a genius.
Yeah, he's great. And that label is great. You know, they're like one of the first that were doing digital releases, if I remember correctly. I didn't even know what
they were doing.
Probably.
He's been
like,
so ahead
of his
time.
Like, this is back then. I'm like, what? They're doing a digital release? What the hell is that?
He's so, yeah, ahead of his time. So I don't doubt
like
it.
Early 2000 or even maybe before that. I'm like, okay. But now I'm like, I know what that is. Because that's what I'm forced to do now. Mm-hmm. It's expensive to press up your shit. Yeah. So support my girl, Bianca Maielli. Okay. Buy her music and buy her music. And buy her music. Okay, with that being said, we have a Patreon attached to the show, even though we put out a lot of possible future sponsors like REI, Beats, Headphones, Whole Foods. The way you really can support my platform is to go to my Patreon and become a pledge. Patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. The newest patrons are Mehole Evans, Jordan Bernstein, Jill Reyes, Kurt Kornfuang Fu, and the newest one, Niles Figueroa. We're filming a music video tomorrow. So by the time this is released, maybe I'm guessing the music video will be close to being released that week also, hey, which is next week, hopefully, knock on wood. Okay, look out for that. There's a website also, stevieweebyshow.com. If you want to buy some merch, t-shirts or hoodies, go there. Keep in mind, because of COVID and the coronavirus and all this craziness happening, the shipping is delayed a bit. So just keep that in mind. But look, I check every day. I have a whole log of my merch.
Look at you.
Of where I write down the person who bought and I follow it every day.
Nice.
Yeah. So
and support the show.
Thanks to everyone who's bought a shirt or anything off my website. So that's stevieweebyshow.com. The Instagram is Instagram/QUANGOU. My Bandcamp is at stevieweebybandcamp.com. Can you shout your Bandcamp once again also?
Absolutely. It's Bianca Maielli, BiancaMaielli.
Bandcamp.com.
Bandcamp.com.
That's it. That's how you get there. Okay, good. We have a P.O. Box series, people sending packages and letters to the Stevie Weeby Show, and I do a whole unboxing vlog. If you want to send your packages to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. And yes, there, definitely check out the, Camp High Sierra vlog. It's already out by now. So definitely check that out and go camping. Do yourselves a favor and get out in nature and reboot your system.
Absolutely.
I think it's important because it did something to me. It did something to me.
We should all be.
I didn't even get that much sleep. And then I was like, woo, like up at 6 a.m. and just like ready to go.
Mother Nature is that bitch.
There is a Little Ray's World, and now it's time, DAP again, now it's time for Little Ray's World.
Hey.
Welcome to Little Ray's World Show. All I gotta say is kids' minds must grow. I got abducted by some aliens dropped in snow. Whoa. Stuck into a world that I do not know. So join me in adventures now. And I promise not to have a cow. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey, hey. So welcome to my world. All the boys and girls. Welcome to Little Ray's World. Hee-haw! Well, what the hell do we got here, Beep? Looks like a goddamn pine cone, man. Let me see if I know what you just said there, son. So your name was Jones, and you were a solo camper out in the woods by yourself. Is that correct, sir? Mm-hmm.
You were camping, and at night you decided to make some s'mores. So you're by your campfire, and what happened next, sir? Oh, that's horrible, sir. So you're saying the Hershey's chocolate and the burnt marshmallow attracted a grizzly bear, and the bear ate you to death, and you died lying next to a goddamn pine cone. Isn't that right? Well, I don't know what to tell you, sir, but me and Beep wrote a song about you, and it goes like this, man. This one's about Jones the Pine Cone. Kids, listen up. Jones the Pine Cone wins. Jones the Pine Cone is known to find a home. Do you know that I'm prone to spit a poem that show my mind is blown? Because Jones got eaten by a bear on a camping trip affair. And I knew it wasn't fair. He wasn't that aware when the smoke had hit the air. He was clicking on some s'mores when he heard a violent roar. That's when his life outflashed and he opened heaven's door. You heard an angel laughing, that hurt him to the core. I am a dinosaur with sweat coming through the pores. There is no me and war with nature because it is a bore. Jones is a pine cone that's looking for the Lord. Jones is a pine cone that's looking for the Lord. Poor Jones, the pine cone. Join us in about 2 weeks or so for another episode of Little Ray's World, man. And make sure you go to www.stevieweebyshow.com and pick yourself up a t-shirt or something, man. Let's get her done.